Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1520 KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. Call Kim now to share your journey, 805-289-1520. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, and gosh, how's everybody doing today? I tell you, this has been a short week for me. It flew by so fast. Anyways, I am your host. I'm Kim Pagano, and today, as always, I have some amazing guests for you. First, I want to start off with Dr. Stephen Trudeau.
Hello, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. For anybody who is just tuning in and recognizes that voice, Dr. Stephen Trudeau was on every Monday for Motivational Monday.
Yeah,
he was my partner on
we
my...
We did a year of Motivational Mondays, and I hope we really kind of kicked it for people.
Oh, I'm telling you. I still do my Motivation Monday. I do. I start every day in a positive way. That is really... Sharon's helped me get back on track, right? But that's really... It's so important to start your days.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, in any day can be the start to your day or your week or
you know, turn your day around, right?
You know, wake up in the morning and take a deep breath and say, I'm going to do it today, whatever it is.
There you go. Steve, I know you'll be talking about how to keep the communication open in a relationship so we don't feel so alone, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of us, you know, sometimes you could be married and alone.
Yeah.
Or you can be, you know, in a relationship and be alone.
Well, we get complacent, you know, after the initial kind of honeymoon phase wears off. You know, people get, they kind of get stuck in a rut. And, you know, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I can't wait. Okay, so definitely, you guys got to stay with us. Then we have Tina Konkin, who will be on the panel at the Women's Conference this Sunday and Monday.
Women's Conference.
Yeah, it's
That's
amazing.
The one I didn't get to go to last year.
I have tickets if you would like to go.
I'm
telling you, it is amazing.
It
We're going to be there. It's going to be so much fun. Anyway. That is this Sunday and Monday, and she's going to be talking about relationships and how carrying our past into our relationships can damage them. She has a relationship boot camp and that can turn our relationships around. So I'm really excited to be talking to her. Our next guest after that is Dr. Trina Reed, and she is a doctor of human sexuality and relationship educator. Can you revive your sex when you think you're not into it anymore?
Sure.
I knew you were going to say that. So when we get married, we think that, you know, and hope that this is our partner for a long time. But I don't know. Something sometimes happens.
Or the drive is going to stay the same. And it doesn't. It changes. It ebbs. It flows. You have kids.
See,
you
I knew we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Especially once you have kids.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Exactly. So anyways, well, also, I want to intro my guest, Marcia Hively.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
And also Sharon Savitson.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing? And
great,
we got Tom Spence on our board. Our phone number here is 289-1520, but you can always reach me at 805-419-0008. And also I want to let you know my website, kimpaganoshow.com. Or you can email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com.
Yeah, I noticed on your Facebook page, you're like racking up those likes.
Yes, yes. In fact, and please become a friend of ours. Like my Facebook page, Kim Pagano Show.
There's all kinds of stuff posted there,
all the time.
I
I'm trying to always, you know, post little web, you know, positive things to help you through your day. So anyways, let's get this show started. And for anybody that is just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'm so glad you are here. We've got Tina on our line. Tina, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm so excited to listen to you and go and meet you in person at the Women's Conference this Sunday and Monday.
You know, as I prepare for that, and I just heard you say how exciting it's going to be. I mean, it is just starting to bubble up with excitement over there. So it's going to be the conference of the year. It hasn't been around for a couple of years, so I'm excited about having it back.
I know. We had Michelle on last week, and she is an amazing lady, too. There's going to be so many amazing people in one area. So,
Tina, how did you get involved with this?
I got involved because a mutual friend of Michelle and myself actually introduced us, and Michelle decided to come and check out our relationship boot camp. And Michelle will tell you herself, as she has put it out there, that it's one of the top three things she did. So that's how we were introduced, and then when she came through the boot camp herself, she said, we have got to do a relationship panel. So much of our life is just based on relationships.
You know, and that's really what our show is going to be about today, is really, I mean, relationships in all areas. And I know, you know, coming from a background of abuse and abandonment, Tina, that's kind of your journey, correct?
Yeah.
That's your passion, is to help heal brokenhearted, you know, families, right? And help them so that they don't have to go through what you've gone through.
I like the name of your panel, Relationships in Reality Panel.
Yeah.
it's a good thing to have relationships in reality. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your relationship boot camp.
Well, the relationship boot camp was really started about 20 years ago when I discovered that our relationships cannot be healthy if we are not healthy. And like you said, I came from a past of, actually my past and my story is really that my mom was a runaway bride. She'd already raised three siblings by the age of 16 because of wartime. It was the times. So when, you know, she got pregnant with me, it was just bad timing. I mean, she got pregnant with me right away, right after being married, and she was hoping for a breather from kids, you know, and just having a bit of a life. So that's my story. But it ended up being that I took that on as personal rejection as a child, that my mom didn't want me. That wasn't her story. I was just bad timing. And I took that rejection into my relationship. And that's why I started the relationship boot camp, because as my husband and I dealt with our own issues in our relationship, we started realizing that these were unresolved issues from our childhood, from our adolescence. Mm-hmm. And now we were fighting, not even knowing that we weren't really fighting each other. We were fighting the pain of the past.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, another thing, I mean, we talked before is that, you know, this also led into your children, too, correct?
Yes, because I now was parenting out of what I thought was going to be healthy, because I didn't want to be my mom. You know, that was the whole thing. I'm never going to be like my mom. You've heard that before.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, many times.
Tina, you know, when I talk about button pushing, which I've spoken about in the past, I talk about that when people push our buttons, they are not buttons that they have created. They are buttons that our family have created, or buttons that were created way back when.
Yes.
And then they show up all the way through our life because we carry it with us.
Yes, and what I shared with Kim yesterday as we spoke was that the button that my daughter pushed in me when she turned 8, she was a wanted child. You know, I wasn't a runaway bride. I waited till I was 24 to get married. Back then, that was old, by the way.
But, you know, isn't it interesting? You did all the right things, but at the same time, you didn't know that. You didn't know that difference to make your relationship healthy.
No, I didn't. I didn't know that button was going to be pushed. And when she was 8, all of a sudden, I'm looking at this little girl, and I'm seeing pain in her eyes, and I'm seeing some of the things I saw in me. She was just me, you know, and in this little body, I could see me, and I started seeing things I didn't want to see. And so that's what I was rejecting. And it was finally the Dr. Phil program that back then was a 5-day program, an intensive, where ours was born out of that. And we trained under his company 20 years ago, because that's where I received my freedom. I was finally able to face that rejected little girl so that I didn't have to pass it on anymore.
This is Marcia, by the way. I was interested because you sounded like you have some forgiveness for your mom. When you started to talk about your mom and, you know, giving the reasons that she had kids at the timing she had it, it sounded like you have forgiveness. Did you find forgiveness for her?
That is exactly what happened, and that's how I rewrote my story. I had to first acknowledge that, you know, I may have understood her predicament as an adult, but the little girl didn't understand it. All I knew is my mommy didn't want me.
Wow.
I didn't understand like I did, but it was that little girl that still hadn't forgiven her. And in my intensive time, after I rejected my own daughter, that's when I found forgiveness. And that release helped me rewrite my story. Now I didn't see a mom that didn't want me. I saw a 16-year-old child that left home
That was confused. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show every Saturday at 2 o'clock until 4, 1520 KVTA. Right now we're talking with Tina Konkin, and she has a relationship boot camp. Not only that, I mean, you really deal with any kind of relationships, right? Because yeah. there's so many relationships right now. I hate to say, but there's a lot of infidelity right now. A lot of people are not satisfied, and we don't know why, and so they take it out on their relationships, correct?
That's correct, yes. And the relationship, usually because you're 24/7 once you're married in a relationship or once you're with a partner, you know, you're no longer, it's not that dating stage where you hide your rocks, you know, or you hide your baggage or you hide your wounds. You know, you put on your lipstick and you put on the little black dress and you're all ready for a date. But once it becomes familiar, it's harder for us to then suppress those things we don't want people to see. And that's why relationships get in trouble, because sooner or later, whatever is not resolved will come up to the surface.
Well, Tina, doesn't it start with your relationship with yourself and your self-love and really healing, forgiving yourself and loving yourself, and then you're able to have that spill over in order to have the relationship with somebody else?
Yes, and that's our premise, why we don't necessarily deal with the couple's problem. It's really a personal boot camp, because until I'm whole and until I look at my issues and what baggage I've brought to the table,
mm-hmm.
be it marriage or be it friendship or be it at work, I'm bringing baggage wherever I go. So it does start with me. I have to be responsible for me, because if I'm not, then it's going to be a second, third, fourth marriage. It's going to be broken relationships that will follow me, broken friendships, endless jobs. Why? Because I'm bringing that stuff that's not resolved. I'm bringing my wounds, I'm bringing my anger, I'm bringing my shame, my blame, all of that stuff that's below the line, you know, below the surface, that we so badly try to hide. But once you're in a permanent relationship, even if it's a job, if you're going to last more than 3 to 6 months, some of you is going to come out if you're... you were talking about
that is so true. You know, what do they say? That if you know, just wait long enough, right?
Yeah.
You know, the real person is going to come out. Did you have...
Well, and that's what's so important about, you know, the kind of the waiting game in an early relationship. I remember as a kid watching The Love Boat.
And
seeing
yeah.
people connect and fight and then break up and then get back together and then get married all in the span of a week on a cruise.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can really get to know somebody or really get to know yourself within a relationship within that amount of time, or a month,
yeah.
or 2 months, or 3 months. I mean, minimum really is about 6 months, where you start really letting out who you really are. You start taking off, as Carl Jung would describe, the persona or the mask. You start peeling it back and revealing yourself to your partner. You know, do you still love me now? Rather than let's get married and then afterwards, well, you have to love me because we're married now. And
right.
out come the sweatpants and the no makeup and all of that
right.
sort
of
thing. And
I don't want sex anymore or whatever, right? Yeah, you know.
But
so.
If you don't love yourself first, there's no way you can really fully give yourself to a relationship. I mean, I know people can have deep affection and emotion and love other people when they themselves are not fully developed or self-actualized, and we're all on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to begin that process of really loving yourself and finding that inner core strength of who you are to make yourself that even that much more attractive to the other person, because they want to be with you because you're shining from the inside out.
Love it. Couldn't have said it better.
Thank you.
And you know what I want to add to that is, and this is what I say to our clients all the time, and talk about forgiveness of my mom. I had to come to a place to realize you cannot give what you do not have.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And so if you don't have self-love, how do you give it?
Mm.
If you don't have that nurturing, how do you give it? If you don't have it, how do you give it away? You
Tina,
can't give something you don't
that
have.
Makes so much sense, because you bring two different families together in a couple, and what you were learned and what they were learned, how do you combine that and how do you mesh that family together? That's what this is really about. Marsha,
mm-hmm.
I know, did you have a question?
No, I was just going to ask how this all fits in with the women's conference. What is exactly going to happen there with your reality
well,
panel?
Tina's on a panel. right?
Well, I know.
I'm actually hosting the Relationship in Reality panel, and what I've taken is some of the experts and also some people that have experienced the boot camp. John Gray, of course, Mars and Venus, you know, the difference between a man and a woman. So he's going to be on the panel and just share his insights as a relationship specialist. But Michelle's real purpose in bringing a relationship panel to the California Women's Conference is because as women, if we get healthy and we begin to love ourselves, then all relationships will prosper. You know, and I think it's going to have an effect on the economy if, as women, we are healthy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Women control a majority of the buying power in the United States. So if they're happy, the economy's happy.
What do they say? if mommy's happy, everybody's happy, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well,
and that's truly proven, you know, that how many sick days are taken because of stress in relationships or in family.
Yeah. There you go. Another thing. Yeah. So I want to know a little bit about your boot camp, Changing Your Story. What does that mean?
Changing our story. Well, actually, we just spoke about it, and it was just great because the question was asked, did you forgive your mom? See, my story was I shouldn't have been born. That plain blank, you know. I was born to a runaway bride, and I shouldn't have been there. I came wrong timing. That's my story. I can't change that. That was the truth. I didn't.
Well, that was your perception, or that?
Right. That was my perception. Well, no, it wasn't just my perception. It was very loud and clear. You know, you shouldn't have been born, but I didn't hear right now.
Oh, see, right now. There you go. Right. I got it. Okay.
See, when I got, when forgiveness came in, all of a sudden I heard, you shouldn't have been born right now. Like, I needed a break.
Right.
I didn't hear that
right.
as a child.
Right. Right. How did, Tina, how did that affect you and your husband?
You know, it really affected because, again, I came from that root of rejection. I didn't belong here. So
right.
whenever we had even a disagreement or when we had, you know, a small fight, it always reverted to me crying and saying, you know, you're right. You deserve somebody better than me.
Right. And that's what you and I talked a little bit about mm-hmm. is that was the thing you kept kind of almost pushing him away, correct?
Correct. And then when I faced the big one, which was the rejection of my daughter, had I never been born, this child wouldn't suffer because of me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that root of rejection, right? I shouldn't be here. Look at, I shouldn't have been born. Look at the mess I'm making of my marriage, the mess I'm making of my child, you know, and now she's going to hurt like I did, but she's not at fault. She's done nothing wrong. And so it always went back into self-loathing. I shouldn't have been born. But the root was in the rejection.
So how are you able to turn this around?
Well, I turned it around when I did go to the 5-day intensive, and that's why we don't do much personal counseling anymore, because I found that in that intensive, it gave us time. We do 40 hours in a boot camp in 4 days, and so we don't leave it. And then, you know, especially when there's roots like this, the real healing there for me and how I turned it around and how I rewrote my story was through forgiveness.
What do you recommend for people that don't have access to the conference? What's a good step, say, in their personal therapy or their personal journey?
I would say start by examining your, you know, we have what we call the R factor, and it's based on three tools. One, reveal. Reveal means you cannot change or heal what you don't even reveal or acknowledge, okay? The second one is rewrite. You know, look at your life. Are there times of wounding and times, and just do a story map, you know, a storyboard, and look at different times in your life that maybe you need to forgive somebody, even if it's an institution. It might be your school or your church or, you know, whatever it is. Look at the times where you know when you look back on that, there's a frown on your face. And, again, start with forgiveness and realizing that forgiveness is about you, not about them.
And what was the third one?
And the third one is to renew. In other words, when you renew, you retool.
Ah.
All right? So when you renew your mind, you start telling yourself and you start realizing, what is the truth? The truth is, I was never rejected. The timing for a 16-year-old was wrong. Not that this child didn't deserve to be born.
You have a term here, live above the line. What does that mean?
That means that below the line is all the stuff that we bury. Below the line is the stuff we don't want to maybe face. Or below the line is our addictions. It's like anger. I was addicted to anger because anger protected me. As long as I was angry, I couldn't hurt me. There could be blame under there. There's shame under there. There's guilt under there. That's all below the line. But the line is reality. The line is accept the fact that this is where you are in life. If you're angry, admit it. If you're an alcoholic, admit it. You know, just realize that's your reality right now. But what do you want? And above the line is where you're going to find peace and self-love and communication and harmony and love and forgiveness and compassion. That's above the line. Are those the things that you want? See, I had to decide that I wanted to forgive my mom. I just didn't know how. But I had to know in my heart that I would gain freedom. So my part with the line of reality was making a decision. Really, the line is a decision. Where do you want to live?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Really, it makes sense. It's re-examine honestly who you are so that you can be available in a relationship.
It's scary to look in the mirror, don't you think?
Well, you know,
we're always looking outside of us, you know, to fix us. That over there will make me shinier or happier, or that over there will complete me, or that person will make me happy. But looking at yourself in the mirror and taking responsibility for your own journey, your own happiness, it's kind of scary at first. But after a while, it gets kind of addicting. You kind of get to like it.
Well, and, it's kind of like working on it. It's a project. You're a project now, right?
Right. Well, that's what I call the courage to thrive.
I like
you,
it.
Yeah. You really need courage to move forward in life and thrive, not just survive.
Well, when you start to see the universe responding to you, when you start to do that and you reframe and you start to look in the mirror, then you become addicted to that because you're seeing the positive effects of your actions.
Let me tell you how addicted I got to forgiveness. Okay, I'm going to say this really quick. When I forgave my mom, it was like this weight that I had carried. At that time, I was 35 years old. I had carried this weight for so long that when it fell, it literally fell off, that I thought, oh my gosh, I feel like I just lost 100 pounds. Like, what's this feeling? And the colors outside were brighter.
You feel free.
Yeah, you're just free. It feels like, okay, I've never done drugs, but apparently there's some drug back in the 70s that made you feel like you could fly, and maybe many people tried.
You know, I would love us to change it around from addicted to fed by.
Yeah,
because
thank you.
When you say you're addicted to something, not only can you not live without it, but it's a downer. But if you're fed by something, it's bringing you up and making it more positive.
Yes, and that's what happened when I experienced that. And you know what? That day, I realized that forgiveness for me was something I would never withhold again, because that unforgiveness in my heart kept chains around my neck. It kept me bound up, and it wasn't freeing. So since then, life does present us with pain, and people do offend us, and people do hurt us as we hurt others.
Right.
But one thing I realized, I cannot live without forgiving others or even forgiving myself.
There you go, because we are all human. So thank you so much, Tina Konkin, for being a guest on our show. And I look forward to meeting you.
Yes, me
too. All right. Thank you again. Okay. You know what? If anybody's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We've got Marsha Hively here. We've got Sharon Savidson. And we've got my friends, Dr. Stephen Trudeau, which I'm so excited.
Yay.
I missed your little input. All right. And we've got Tom on our board. And again, our phone number here is 289-1520. And if you want to think about being involved in my show, definitely, you can give me a call at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. Right now, I'd love to bring on Dr. Trina Reed, and she is a doctor of human sexuality and relationship educator, and we're going to talk a little bit about, can you revive your sex when you think you're not into it anymore? And, when we get married, we get busy, we get kids, we get business, all those things. And Dr. Tina Reed is going to talk to us about how we can, it's really still there. I'm really curious to learn how to juggle all that. So, Trina, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit, about what you do and what are some of the problems that people come to you for?
I'm an educator in Canada, and I just talked to couples who are in long-term relationships who love each other, want to stay together, but they just can't keep their sex together. And, you know, and I just, we've just figured out together ways to, you know, get that passion, get that spark back. Because I think, it's such a common problem for the majority of couples, but nobody's talking about it. And I think that's the biggest thing. Everybody thinks that, they're the only ones who are going through this difficult situation, when in fact it's the majority of us. And the people who are having crazy hanging off the chandelier sex, they're the minority. So
so that doesn't really happen a lot.
Sure, it does.
You know, like they're all wait a minute.
Well, even if you even if you're really happy with your sex life, I think there's always room for improvement.
Indeed.
Absolutely, no matter where you are in your sex life. The thing is, what I do is I just talk to those couples who want to get that passion back. And mostly what I like to do is talk to women about how to empower themselves in the bedroom. Because really, once women empower themselves and get sexual self-confidence, I call it sexual self-confidence, then there's going to be a lot more bedroom activity going on.
Right. And now, do you think that it's more women that prevent the sex?
Well, there is definitely a percentage of men who have lower sexual desire. However, study after study shows and proves that men generally have a higher sex drive. And it makes a lot of biological sense because women, we carry the children. So if women had the same high sex drive as men, we'd be having sex with everybody without birth control and having lots of babies. It just doesn't make sense. So generally, men do have higher sex drives because they have testosterone. Testosterone makes you want to have sex. And women do tend to have lower sex drives. But also, you know, there's the complications of life. So, you know, if a woman is under a lot of stress or has constant fatigue, the two biggest libido busters are stress and fatigue. So it's not, you know, so there's a lot of different complications that can happen in a woman's life that make her not want to feel sexy or sexual. And it might not just be that she has, you know, low sexual desire. Like, the thing is, I've talked to many women who say, you know, once they went with their partner out of the house, let's say they got a weekend together.
Okay, let's just stop right there. Why is that? You could go to a hotel or you can go, you know, somewhere not at home, and it's like you're on vacation and you're like, vacation sex. That's what we should just call it, vacation sex.
Well, and Kim and I and Sharon all have teenagers. And as you know, when you have teenagers in the house and they're going to bed after you, it becomes really hard to develop a time that you're not self-conscious.
Well, you know, it's interesting because early on, I think it was more, and I think you and I talked about this, Marcia. Early on, it's the mom saying, oh, I think the kids can hear. Mm. And then afterwards, it's the husband going, I think the kids are listening. You know, it's like, seriously, you know, so it's that, you know, how do you find that happy place?
Yeah, you have to schedule it. And isn't that oh so sexy?
Oh, that doesn't,
I'll have an appointment with you next Tuesday at 10 p.m.
Well, I tell my married friends then. I say to them, because I'm single, I'm divorced, and I tell my friends that they need to schedule weekends away with their husbands. Mm-hmm. Or date night, and maybe, I don't know what, you know, how date night ends, or send your children away. With teenagers, it's a little difficult, especially when they tell you they're not coming home and then they do come home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, so. Plus, if you wait till 2 o'clock in the morning, you're just exhausted and there's nothing you can do, you know.
There you go. And you know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking about sex. That's what we're talking about. We're talking with Dr. Trina Reed right now. And she is a relationship and sexual health expert.
What about the difference between how men and women process things? So, for instance, men don't multitask. I don't care what anyone says. It's not true. They don't multitask. They switch task a lot.
Thank you for admitting
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. One thing at a time. So when a man is ready to have sex, he will think of nothing but sex. Where a woman who is very used to multitasking is also thinking, you know, if I take that load of whites out of the washer and put it in the dryer before 10 o'clock,
so
they won't
true.
Da 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 da. And I really need to get my toenails done. And tomorrow I need to go by the bank. And so she's multitasking and not fully focused on the task at hand, which isn't necessarily a goal-driven task, but just being in the sexy moment. Why do women struggle to just be in that sexy moment completely?
Trina?
Oh, well, I have the answer.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we look at women's brains, there is different parts of the brains that, you know, there's a love part of the brain, an attachment part of the brain, and then there's a lust part of the brain. And so a woman cannot be in her love attachment part of her brain and also be in her lust part of the brain at the same time. So a lot of women, they walk into the bedroom exactly like you're saying. You know, they're thinking, okay, I got laundry, I've got this, I've got that. And they and they're trying, what they're trying to do is quiet down their brain. Now, what happens with, and why every sex expert under the sun says foreplay, 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 it's because women have to move from this attachment love part of their brain into their lust brain. And a lot of women, you might be saying, you know, yeah, you're right, I was in the middle of sex, and I felt this clunk in my brain where you moved from the love to the lust, right? Like, but it takes a while to calm that down and move from one part of the brain into the other part of the brain. And it, you know, and some women just cannot. Like, if a woman is just too much in her multitasking mind, and she refuses the foreplay, if she refuses to go from her head into her body, chances are it's not going to happen. So, you know, a big part of women really enjoying the sexual experience is making sure she consciously moves away from her attachment brain into her lust brain, into her body. Because, you know, if you can't move into your body during sex, you're not going to enjoy it. I mean, that makes absolute sense, but a lot of women just don't understand that that's a dynamic going on.
Trina, I'm looking at something that you have here, oh crap phenomenon. What is that? Because that sounds pretty familiar right here.
Yeah. So sexual desire are the thoughts we have about sex before, during, and after. And a lot of times women have a negative sexual desire. So when sex is initiated, she thinks, oh, crap, do I have to have sex now? Can't you see I'm tired? Can't you see I've just had a big day? Can't you see? And so what happens is if she has a negative sexual desire going into the sexual experience, it's not brain science to say that she's not really going to enjoy it. So instead, women really have to look at their thought patterns when they go into sex, because it does have a profound impact on how she enjoys the sexual experience. So if this is one of the reasons why spontaneous sex doesn't work. So everybody wants to just look in their partner's eyes and go, ooh, let's have sex now. And, you know, sometimes yeah. that does work. Sometimes stars align and sometimes that does work. But this is why scheduling sex is so very important, because it gets that idea in the woman's brain. So when it's spontaneous sex, when her partner grabs her boob, and by the way, guys, grabbing boobs, grabbing butt, not sexy. Not sexy.
Thank you.
When you grab the butt, she's thinking, oh my gosh, you want sex now? Oh crap, does it have to be now? So if that's your thought pattern, you really have to turn that thought pattern around and have positive sexual thoughts before sex, because it's really going to impact how you enjoy sex. So if you're thinking, oh crap, you got to think something different.
Oh, God.
You know, sometimes I think it helps. Well, I should say it helps for my husband and I if we set a date, but we talk about, okay, you know, we're going to set time for this, and we both understand that's what we're setting time for. Because then sometimes, you know, he'll like, okay, let's go out to dinner first. Okay, let's go have steak. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not having sex after I have steak. I feel like a bloated pig.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to have that conversation.
What kind of food do you need, Mark?
Very little. Very little food.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I think like something like music can get you in the mood. So sure. When you know what the things are that actually transition you from being in a place of stress to being in the mood, it can be something as simple as a piece of music that just makes you feel a little more sexy.
There you go. You know, what I love about all of this is that we're all normal.
And
there's so many. Yeah, yeah. Well, look at, you know, there's these books out now. What is it? The Gray, 50 Shades of Gray. Okay, yeah. It's a huge phenomenon. Trina, I'm sure you've been talking about that, right?
Yeah, I've done many, many, many interviews about 50 Shades.
Okay, so what is that? Is that all of a sudden, you know, at 50 we want more sex, or are we just trying to get it back in our lives? You know, I just think it's so important. You know,
you think when you read a book, though, as a woman, this is my advice, you know, is to get fully into that space. You forget the laundry while you're reading. You surrender to the reading process. You immerse yourself in that world. And if you could find a way of doing that with your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, I think that it would be more satisfying. And then that book kind of demands so much of our attention.
Well, I think one of the other things that has been shocking to maybe men is that women are incredibly sexual. And mm-hmm. this has become so popular because they are sexual beings. And sometimes men want to think that women don't think about sex or, you know, and I think women don't want to think of themselves as sexual beings. And you know, this has kind of sparked something. I think it's great if it does it for you, you know, have your husband read it too.
Right. Trina, what's your thought on that?
Well, you know how we just talked about women moving from their attachment love brain into their lust brain? Well, when women read 50 Shades, erotica works for women. I mean, men like to look at nude pictures. And, you know, we probably don't want to discuss that, but men like to look at nude pictures. That's a fact. And women like to read erotica, and that works for women. And so, you know, whatever works for you, like just as was said, it's going to help you move from this love attachment into the lust brain. And the great thing about 50 Shades, it's been like the perfect storm. So what's happening is women are giving other women permission to read this book. So you know, girlfriends are handing their friends this book saying, my gosh, you've got to read this.
Grandmothers are handing it off.
Daughters, yeah, daughters are reading it. It's scary, yeah.
And you know, and you know, the mass media is saying women now really are enjoying to read erotica. So, and it's okay. Now, you know, 20 years ago, there was, you know, a lot of erotica out there. I've had erotica on my website for at least 5 years, but now women are given permission to
read it. I think that's what you just, you know, I think that's really it. This is just given, men have always had porn, and, you know, if a woman was saying.
Yeah, look at some of the earliest cave paintings.
Yeah.
They're just very basic.
There you go.
Yeah.
So another question is, you know, I know that having an orgasm is what you say 5% of what sex is. Correct.
Yeah, so part of the myth about what great sex is that great sex always has to include an orgasm. And orgasms are great. I mean, you know, there's nothing nicer than to have an orgasm. The thing is, when we are always forced to have this goal-oriented type of sex, like you have an orgasm, I have an orgasm, boom, we're done, it really takes the emotional, intimate, that spiritual level out of the sexual experience. This turns it into, okay, we're going to go into the bedroom, we're going to get each other off. So I think when we look at what makes up good sex, we don't necessarily, for women especially, it doesn't necessarily have to include an orgasm. And in fact, when I say to women, you know, what do you want out of the sexual experience? A lot of women, they want to be nurtured. Not all women, but a lot of women, you know, they want to be pampered. They want a foot massage. They want a bath. They, you know, but the women, they hesitate to tell their partners that this is what they want because they know after the foot massage or after the bath comes payment.
You know what's going to be expected, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's, yeah.
It comes the intercourse. So women, you know, what women, you know, when they think about sex, they think about it in terms, but society doesn't, you know, when society defines the word sex, it's about having orgasm and having intercourse. So I think orgasm is a great thing, but it's just one way to have sex, and there's a lot of different ways to have sex, and so we, you know, in order for us to be titillated and it's to use our imaginations and do different things in the bedroom and not always just go into the bedroom, get each other off, and have intercourse, because that's fun, but it does get repetitive and boring after a while.
Okay. How does a woman tell her man what works to put her in the mood? Because I think most men that I've talked to are more than willing to take direction.
You know, I think on a theoretical level, men are absolutely willing. I've done lots of lectures to men, and they say to me, you mean the only thing in the way of us having a great sex life is her telling me what she wants? That's the only thing. And yet, I have heard time and time again that when women actually go to their partner and say, please give me a foot massage tonight, and after the foot massage, there's no intercourse, that's what we're going to do, then. But he resists. He doesn't want to do that.
He's a
fool. You know, so there's that, like, theoretically men get this, but I think when it comes to the one-on-one, there's a very different dynamic going on there. So I think something has to change.
But a good man will do that because he wants the long term. Men, especially the longer they're in a relationship, sex for them bonds the relationship further. And that's what, to them, sex tells them that their relationship is okay. So they're in it for the long haul. If, you know, you say you want a foot rub, I'm going to give you a foot rub and then I'll go watch TV. That's fine because I know that it will improve what happens next Saturday night or next
but
Wednesday
honestly,
night or whatever.
But honestly, if your wife said she wants a foot rub, do you consider that sex?
Sure, if it's sexy.
Sexual?
Yeah. I mean, I often said, you know, for the entire relationship that I've been in with my wife for 16-something years, we've been sexual every single day. But we don't have sex every day.
Right.
But we've been sexual every day. And if it even a hug can be sexual, if it's more than a brother-sister type hug. But letting each other know that you're deeper into each other, way deeper into each other than just the surface, that can really bond a relationship. And I like to study successful relationships. And that's what they tell me they do.
Hmm. Interesting.
Don't you think it's also dependent on how much self-esteem and confidence the man has?
Oh, sure.
Because if you say to somebody, I just want you to do it a little differently, and they're not confident within themselves, they see it as you've done that wrong, it's a rejection, it's a judgment.
Mm.
Trina?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, the thing is, the dynamics within a couple, it's very, very complex. And so it's really easy to spout this theory off and say, you know, this is what you should be doing, this is what's going to make you happier. But trying to put that into practice in your own relationship, it's there's trials. Like, it's not going to go smoothly. And I think people do get discouraged because we most of us just don't have the communication skills around sex to be able to, one, express what we want sexually, but then when the hurt starts coming out, to then placate it and say, okay, you know what, we're just going to push through this and make it work, because ultimately, at the end, it's going to be better for us.
I think, Stevens, you're a pretty evolved man, because I think the majority of men are very goal-oriented. And so when they talk about sex, the goal of sex to them is to have an orgasm. They don't talk about sex as, let's rub your feet and tomorrow we'll rub your back and next Thursday we'll
maybe get into
bed, and God knows at some point, please let me have an orgasm. I think most men think of the end game as they go through the process. So,
but an orgasm can come at the very beginning of lovemaking. You can have an orgasm in the first 5 minutes.
That's why I'm saying, Stephen,
to make love for two
more hours.
I think
you're really evolved, and God bless you.
No, but I'd like to challenge men to rise to the occasion and grow up and stop thinking of yourselves as a dirty little pee-pee that needs to get done in 30 seconds before somebody opens the bathroom door. I mean, that's how boys are sexualized when they're young, because they have to, you know, masturbate in private and all that. And then when they get into their relationship, they think they can be free, but those old childhood patterns come back to haunt them.
Kind of
like
what we...
And if they can be challenged to rise to the occasion and say, if you make your wife happy, you will have a legitimately happy sex life for the long haul, not just for tonight.
It's not always their orgasm that is important to them. A lot of times it's, you know, bringing you to that. So I think a lot of times it is a goal.
Trina, you know, you also talk about low sexual desire. How can we handle that?
I think when we're looking at low sexual desire within a woman, it, you know, we immediately assume it's libido, but there's a lot of different reasons why a woman might feel low sexual desire, or a man. So it could be stress, it could be fatigue, she could be on medications, she could be depressed. And so, like, when we tease out all these different factors, I think what she has to do is take a look at, you know, what can she control and what can't she control. So, you know, maybe she can't control the amount of stress that's going on in her life, but she can maybe get a few extra hours sleep by, you know, doing something. So I think low sexual desire, when, you know, there's a lot of so-called magic pills on the market, you know, and the testosterone patch is supposed to come out, and testosterone will boost your sexual desire. It will work, but it's just a band-aid. So I think, you know, I think women and men, if they do have low sexual desire, instead of being frustrated about it, this is the time to sit down with their partner and start talking about things. And, you know, the easiest, the most easy way for a person to get their sexual desire back is through touch. Simple touch. So a lot of times, with, you know, for whatever reason, couples stop touching
we become touch deprived, and the only time we really get to experience touch is when we're in the middle of sex. And a lot, and for a lot of women, it's just overwhelming. We go from zero to like all out, full on touch. And so if we took the time with our partners to, you know, have a full massage, or, you know, do the touching every single day, that is going to go a tremendously long way to help her get her sexual desire back. And it's a really easy, easy way. She doesn't have to do a lot of different things in her day to make that happen. It's just a matter of consciously saying to her partner, you know, we're going to do some, we're just going to hold hands, or, you know, you're going to touch me in a nice way, and I'm going to receive that touch. And I bet you bottom dollars, it's going to help her feel back to her sexy self again.
You know, if anybody's just tuning in right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking about sex. We're talking about making, you know, really sexual happiness. And we've got Dr. Trina Reed on. And, you know, a lot of us, I know that there's a lot of us that have, there's, you know, vibrators, there's different toys out there. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think variety's always a great thing to bring into the bedroom, you know. So there's a lot of different things, accoutrements that you can bring in. And, you know, the one thing I would always, always recommend 100% of the time is a lubricant. Lube just makes sex a lot more fun. You know, a massage candle. They have massage candles now that the wax, it's cosmetic wax. You drip it on the body, it gives you a hot wax. And let me tell you, it's to die for. It's fantastic. Yeah, and so when we look at sex adult products, it's not just sex toys. And some people feel intimidated by bringing a sex toy in. But just picture this scenario. You're in the bedroom. Your partner brings in a feather tickler and just starts sweeping your body lightly with that feather tickler. I mean, it's getting me going. It's getting me hot. How about you? I mean,
I can see that. Yeah, there you go.
I'm about to sneeze.
Fantastic.
That doesn't do it for you, Steven?
He's just kidding.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I think that it's important, you know, that we all need to know that we are half of the sex team, right? And that your needs and, you know, each other's needs are as important as each other.
I love how we can just have the conversation. It's so refreshing, because I think over the years, just watching the emergence of sexuality being a common topic, an everyday topic, a real human interaction topic, and not something dirty, not something locked in a bedroom somewhere. I think that is just so beautiful that our culture is evolving and opening up to real sexuality.
Trina?
Well, you know, I think that there's still a big duplicity around sex, that, you know, sex is still dirty. Like women are still getting the messages that they're either a Madonna or they are a whore. And I'm still seeing dad saying, you know, just wait till my daughter starts dating. That guy's in trouble. Like, these are still messages that I'm seeing everywhere. So although we have come a long, long way, and I agree with you, we've come a long, long way in openly discussing sex, we still have a long way to go. When I'm doing a radio interview or any kind of interview, everything I say has to be vetted. I have to be very careful about what I say, you know, especially if I'm on a morning program. Sometimes I can't say sex, you know, like there's a lot of things that I cannot say because it's sex. And, you know, I didn't realize that when I went into this occupation what a liability being a sex expert would actually be, because, you know, as soon as you're labeled a sex expert, people think you're just salacious, and I'm absolutely not. So I think, yes, in fact, there is a lot more open conversation, but I think we have so much more to go, you know. We're getting there, but it's still just a lot to go.
Well, there is definitely still a double standard. If you look at what's happening, and I'm trying not to get political on this, what's happening with birth control alone in politics today, there is a huge double standard about what we can talk about, what we can do, what we, you know, accept as society, and, you know, and how, like, there's a movie called What's Your Number? I don't know if you ever saw that, but basically it's saying to women, you can have sex all you want, but at 20, you are a floozy. And so
Well, I think, I wanted to bring you on my show because to me, this is, you know, such an important part of our relationships. It really is. And to
your relationship with yourself.
Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, and as I want to just hit on one more thing is you have here that your body is your absolute wonderland, right? That invites you to enjoy sex and it's time to get on board. So what do you call a starfish?
A starfish.
That's what she has in here.
I like that. That's a nice segue.
I know.
Like, boom, boom, boom.
Is that a new toy I don't know about?
So a starfish, basically, the woman just lays there and lets the sex happen. You know, she's not going to participate. She's just going to, like, she's just tolerating the sex. And a lot of times, if she doesn't have enough foreplay, if she's not in the mood, if she's saying, oh, crap, do I have to have sex tonight? With some women, not all women, but with some women, it's a very passive-aggressive way to show she's not enjoying sex. And so I say to women, you know what? You know, in order for us to enjoy sex the most, we have to stop this starfishing. We have to be an active partner in the sexual experience. So we actually, you know, we have to be thinking about positions and things to do and ways to tease our partner and be actively engaged and not just starfish, not just lay there and let things happen to us. We can't, you know, I think that's a part of the big part of the problem with sex is women are just very passive in the bedroom. They let things happen to them and then complain that they don't like the way sex is, right? So, you know, we have to actively engage, and by doing that, we are going to enjoy the sexual experience that much more.
I love this. I love it.
Well, and stop thinking that your partner is critiquing you the entire time, because we're not.
We're not?
We're not.
Okay.
We're not critiquing you.
We're not?
We're not
okay.
Measuring. We're not examining. We're having sex. We're so happy. That's all we care about.
I love it. Dr. Trina Reed, we've been just talking about sex for both partners. Be a partner in your sex team. And I'm going to have you back because there's so many more things that we could talk about. And I just think, you know what? I'm glad we talked about this. Can you leave us with one tip that we can add to our relationship?
I think the best thing we can do for our partnership is to make sure that we spend at least 10 minutes every week. 10 minutes a week, folks. 10 minutes a week. Just one-on-one with our partner, holding hands and talking to them. And that, just that one 10-minute connection a week is going to go a long way for us to feel like being in the bedroom with that person.
Wow, amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, we are at the end of our first show, our first part of our show, and we're going to take a really quick break. We were just talking with Dr. Trina Reed, and I hope that you got some messages out of there. You know, I mean, it's real talk. That's what we do here. And you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. We're going to talk to Dr. Stephen Trudeau, and we got lots more. So we'll be right back.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It's Kim Pagano here, and I only use the best when it comes to real estate. I'd like to introduce you to Shannon Rojas. She is the best.
Hello, I'm Shannon Rojas, and whether you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, I can help you with all of your needs. Give me a call at 805-889-4900, 805-889-4900. I look forward to hearing from you.
We'll be right back. You know, it's becoming more and more difficult to find a show that relates to you and what's going on in your life. But we've got it for you right here on AM 1520 KVTA every Saturday at 2 p.m. on The Kim Pagano Show. Kim talks about health. She talks about business, beauty, fashion, pop culture. Oh, and don't forget, she includes parenting and relationships. It's real life radio for, get that, your real life. Join Kim Pagano every Saturday for interesting guests that include everyone from doctors and experts to entertainers and even locals. It's your life on the radio because Kim's just like you. She's a mom, she's a hair therapist, and a busy career woman. Start your weekend off in a positive way and do yourself a favor. Be here 2 p.m. every Saturday for your weekly dose of Kim and your weekly dose of your life on the radio for The Kim Pagano Show, only here on AM 1520 KVTA.
Come on. Welcome back, everyone. And I just want to remind you, if you are just tuning in right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're going to talk to Dr. Stephen Trudeau, and he is in our studio right now. We're going to talk about relationship, sex, kids, communication. The communication is the key to a solid relationship. And stay with us because we're going to be talking about that. We'll be right back. Yeah.